This is the second half of a tape by the Reverend Bingle. Now, carry on. They tell me I missed a lot while you were having your refreshments. Tell it over again.
You didn't miss anything. I asked, what percentage of the men in these camps went to his services? And now, Reverend Bingle, would you tell that again?
Well, I said that I usually carried with me my hymns were on. My hymns were hymns with songs on them. Church hymns that we have known for 50 years. And most everybody knows. And
is that on a reel?
It's on a reel. 16 millimeter reel. And sound, of course. And there's an organ playing. The cathedral organ is playing. And the choir is singing. It might have some pictures tied up with it. Beautiful pictures. Or it might be just the words up there or the music, you see. But you hear a choir is singing, and everybody just automatically sings, and everybody takes part because they figure that everybody's singing. Because, but you'd be surprised how everybody sings. And it's in the dark, nobody sees the other fellow singing, so he just takes part. So it works out good.
And what proportion of the men go to these services?
Well, in my railroad groups, I used to have everybody in camp, everybody was on the railroad, right? And when I was in these other camps out on the highway in the early days there, everybody was there. Everybody that was possible to get there, it was pretty much there. Oh, there was a few of them that was tied up to something and they couldn't get there, but there was a great percentage of them that were there.
Now, Reverend, you've stopped on the highway about 1945, and this is 1965. So let's come on up through the 50s now and see what you took part in.
Well, of course, I was privileged also in the late 40s to go into Barrow a few times for the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
And I made it in there for the Arctic contractors, and it was a joy to go up there. To run into Umiad into Barrow for the Navy, and
when the CBs were there,
when the oil exploration group was on, see.
You and I were shadows then.
Well, I really enjoyed that trip into the Barrow country. I used to cover that. Well, I made a number of trips into Barrow and to Umiad.
Umiad too.
Umiad and Barrow, but. In the 50s, why, of course, that's almost ain't present history, but...
Well, that's what we want. This
but,
is for posterity.
Yeah, but in the 50s, why, I was back on the railroad. I quit I worked on the highway, covering in the... finished off working in the Canadian camps. I worked in as a... took care of the Canadian camps even after the Americans, all United States forces and the civilians all pulled out of there. Took care of the Canadian folks until 53.
Oh, wonderful.
Our church picked up the Destruction Bay.
Yeah.
And the Anglican people took care of Haines Junction. Mm-hmm. And they also take care of the border now. But for a long time, we still went across the border occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
To
Dry Creek.
Dry Creek country. And when McCabe is there over there, he has a place there, more or less like a roadhouse there, this side of the customs there, the Canadian customs.
Grady?
McCabe it is.
McCabe?
Yes, and he is a Canadian there. Used to be the customs man there.
Oh.
And in Canadian Customs.
I was thinking of the fellow right there across the road from Scotty Creek.
No, yeah, that's...
Matt Grahey.
Yeah, that's Matt and Grace. Well, they're still there.
Yes.
But McCabe is the Canadian. He's over the border.
I didn't know him.
Yeah, he's a very fine chap. He's over there, runs a little place this side of the... right this side of the customs place area in Canada. The present customs place, and of course this side of the big lodge that belongs to Chuck West.
Alaskan.
Yes. But we they have the I did go down in there once or twice and had one of the other men go in later afterwards at his request. And then the Canadian folks pick it up. Now. I mean, the Anglican people pick
you
it up.
You were not down to the Soldier's Summit for the...
Cutting the ribbon? Oh, they didn't ask me to go, but I was there many times before that and after. I sure didn't miss anything. Because I've been there long before they cut the ribbon. Yes, I was there long before they cut the ribbon.
Now, this brings you up into the 50s, the late 50s.
Well, I was working on the railroad only then at that time. And
well, give us a sketch of your itinerary on the railroad.
Well, at first, we used to, as I say, we covered way down below Anchorage area in the Matanuska Valley, then after I came back, and we sort of divided it up, so Wasilla was taking the major portion, I mean, took a portion of the highway, of the railroad, and he was taking from Curry on back down, and the Willow End, and Talkeetna End, and so on. I don't think they did too much about it, but anyhow, they only worked probably as north as far as Montana. And I don't think there's been much done at Willow, as much as done as far as Curry was concerned, even before Curry burned, or nothing has ever been abroad past since I was in there, or nothing has been ever done. I don't think it was a work range after I left it either. But of course, they covered Summit. Our group covered Summit, and after I quit, and also they covered McKinley Park, and they covered Healy, of course, and the mines, and they covered Garner, and which I covered, and I used to cover
Cantwell.
I used to go to Ferry. No, never went to Cantwell because they had a minister there.
Oh yeah.
And used to go to Ferry. Used to go to Old Clear. Before there was a clear at all.
Old Clear.
Oh, I went to go to Old Clear many a time.
Oh.
And then there was, that's right. I think I even been to Julius before Julius was put out.
Yeah?
Oh, yes, I think I've been to Julius.
Oh, my. I used to have to flag the train all along those stops.
Yes, and, before, when I was working last, toward the last, I had about 13 different stops that I would try to make, and which I made. Some of them was, once in a while, it was Usabelli Coal and Suntrana Coal, and once in a while I'd get up to Cripple Creek, and up above there, Ben Shallot's coal mine.
That's Bunnell Company now.
And I used to get up with Ben Shallot once in a while, and then I get up to get down to where Lignite was for that group for their coal mine.
Jim Carroll.
And I used to get, of course, down to Suntrana, and I see that makes one, two, three, it's four coal mines are made. And then Summit, McKinley Park, and Healy, and Ferry is four, Clear is five, and five, that's nine altogether, and there was a couple work trains in there, that was 11 of them I was knowing of. So there was 11 spots that I know of that I was hitting right along. And I had to get those between before every Christmas and every Easter and try to make them before Thanksgiving time. But those particular times of the year I was trying to make that with a regularity.
Tell me, when did you go into and build the church at the college?
1949-47, we started to work at the college area to build up the congregation there. And 1947, we started to build up the congregation there. And 1948...
1949, we organized the congregation and started to build the building.
Oh.
And Harry Champlin was the one that had the students on the hill, and I had the folks in the valley down below, in which we worked the program out to gather between us and between the two of us, while we were able to get the work started. And I only could be there every other Sunday because of I had to be on the road sometime because that was my job on the road.
Was that church done, that was a log church, was that done mostly by volunteer help?
Well, there was quite a bit of volunteer help on that, yes. There was much volunteer help. Most people from the University Farm, a lot of those was volunteer help from that University Farm. Claude Swain, Mrs. Swain, Items. Oh, I could name any number of them out in there. Alan Rugg, who's now the head man of that big seismograph outfit down at Payson, Arizona, one of the most important places in the United States. He was a very big man there. He did all the survey work for that. And chapters in Juneau now was Wagner was a big part of it there too, Mrs. Wagner. And we had Mark and Mrs. Nielsen. And it's all those people in that college area. Mrs. Polensky out there. You couldn't get along without Mrs. Polensky.
She's still around?
No, she died.
Oh, I didn't know her.
And Mrs. Polensky, and a few of those girls from university. They're scattered somewhere in Alaska. They're very good girls.
Jim, turn off that.
There's one colonel's daughter from Anchorage. She was a good gal, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, those people, they were fine folks that built on that church there. But, Henry Gettinger and Andy Botner, were the were the head carpenters of that that building, and then there was a young fellow there that I forget his name that built the front of the entrance there. What was his name, Neville?
That was put on later on, wasn't it? That entrance?
No, it was right there in the first before we got in the fall.
Oh.
No, he's in Seattle. This is just out of Seattle, a little ways along 99.
Take a drink.
Yeah, been got help. But I can't think of his name. Bob Henriksen.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Henriksen. Bob did quite a bit of work. Of course, he was all under Fennell. Ernie Fennell.
Oh, he was the one that...
Ernie Fennell was the head man.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then there was a fellow who was had a limp to him, and he stayed out here about 14 miles somewhere, and he had some equipment on planing of lumber. Forget his name, and he was he did the top of the work. He did the finish work on the top when Fennell couldn't have been there. And I remember he asked me a question, and I didn't know what he was talking about, and I was in a hurry down the railroad, and I said yes when I should have said no. And I got one layer of logs too short on the top as a result, because I didn't understand what he was talking about.
Well, when was it that you started Harding Lake Camp, and what was the history of that?
Oh, Harding Lake Camp was started in, 47, and 1947, Harry Champlin and I walked across the lake with Edgar Filio to look for a campsite. And you can imagine how Edgar could walk more than Harry and I could, because he's pretty good on that stuff and he's been used to that. And boy, I was my tongue was hanging out. I could hardly make it across that lake and back. But Edgar seemed to make out all right.
This was in the winter,
In the winter, across on the ice and snow. I went across on skis, and I think Edgar probably had snowshoes. I wasn't sure. But we went across the lake, and Edgar found the skates all right, but we got on the wrong side of the town site line, and we selected the wrong place, and so we put an application in for the place that was now the town site over there. Mm-hmm. That's right where Bill Green's cabin is, and so on. We selected that area, and when we found out where we were on the wrong area, so we couldn't start it then, and they wanted to give us the area where we are now, and we stumbled around over that in there for a couple 3 years before, and finally Tom Tweedy says, "You better take that area, because It's a better area when you really look at it than the other area is." And finally, after we went out and looked at it, I said, "I'll take that area if he gives us all of it and not just part of it, because part of that isn't so good. But if he gives us all of it, why, all right." And so, and we agreed that by having all the churches in on it and making it a whole, all for everybody, we could get all the land, which they allowed it that way. Mm-hmm. And they gave us that land, and which is, well, it's about 1,300 feet, I guess, across there, you see. That's a big area. And it makes it very good, usable place. Mm-hmm. And it's, and so we're able start in the fall of 53, we got the logs in across on the ice. And in the winter, summer, fall of 53, winter 53, 54. And in the summer of 54, we got equipment in over the tundra, went back through the woods and snaked it through the woods, my trailer and plus other equipment. And we went through, broke through the woods and got, got those logs skinned out, and did some road work back in there, and were able to get those logs not only skinned out but taken up the hill, and they were able then, road commission came in with equipment, and they broke through a right of way, but they said that they were going to put a road there. That was their line. But they say that when they came back in the spring, I had a house on the end of their road. But that was, so they had to go up the hill. But they didn't stay in a straight line. They stayed on the property line. It had been all right, you see. But they made a twist in that property. They twisted off the property line. And that's where they made the mistake, you see, if they made a mistake. I always figured that they was they were just kind to me, but they just they fixed that thing out nicely for me, because those fellows are pretty nice fellows, you know, and they said, "We fixed it," so they fixed it.
Well, do you have some of your land go above the road?
We have 40 acres above the road.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have 40 acres above the road. And that's good land there. There's a good possibility in that land above the road to make good housing above the road there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good housing possibility above that road there. So we started to build the building, and in the fall of 54, the base campfire went down, and so two, three rounds of logs went in 54. And by 55, we went out there and we had the building up the top, except the gable end didn't get put in. That's why we hurt the building, the gable end there. Well, I didn't get the gable end put in, and the big snow hit us in the wintertime. And that's why I'm kind of touchy about that whole thing getting hurt there by heavy snow, because of not being good enough room, roof support there, because the top log is rolled on each side, on the far end. Because this is doweled, and the dowels are all sprung, see, on the top log.
Well, then it just gradually you got all the other buildings up, huh?
Yes, we started to build them in 56, I think it was, or in the spring of 57 it was. I'm not sure. I think it was in 57 we put those up. Might be in 56 we put some up. But in 57, we had the first camp, and between the 4-H and all the various groups came out there, and all they worked like Trojans. And the Nazarenes came out, and all of the different groups, and they sure worked. And they put up cabins, we had two in 56, I think, put up two more in 57.
That's right.
They put up two more in 57.
And then your church went up about 60 or?
58.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, the church
went up
58.
Where did most of your money come from?
Right out of this community. Mm-hmm. The exception, they borrowed, and toward the last there, they borrowed $10,000 from the Senate of Washington. And personally, I think we could have bought the thing. We could have paid it for it ourselves. We'd have gone to work right on it.
Who is we?
The community and the church.
Oh.
I mean, the church.
Oh.
And of course, that's sour grapes. we had everything working in our favor, and everybody was behind the thing. But if we don't work at it, you don't work at it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the situation there now? I heard something about they might give it up, or what's this?
No, you never heard that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
No, you never heard that. Mm-hmm. They voted not to hold camps at Kings Lake down below this year, and we use Harding and Lake instead.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Use their own camp. I think that was a mistake, because I don't think you're going to get juniors to come up that far. Well, I wouldn't send a little youngster of mine that distance on a railroad train.
From where?
From Anchorage, in the old Anchorage area. It's too far.
Kings Lake up to here.
Yes.
It's not too far for us to go down to there, though, huh?
You're older.
Oh.
That's for a little kid.
Oh. You mean they're not going to use Kings Lake at all? None of Anchorage
group? That's right.
Oh, why not?
That's our question.
Oh. You don't understand this, huh? This is the, I don't know if we go on. This is probably not the first thing.
That's
Then after you built the church in, worked on the church in 40 at college, ever since then, they've had their own minister, haven't they?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And it's now become self-supporting.
Oh, it is now?
Oh, yeah. It's been so for some time.
How about this nice church school they have there? What is
that? That Christian Ed building?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, that's coming along. They borrowed money and was given money from the board,
uh-huh.
And Christian Ed board and the synod,
uh-huh.
And what they borrowed, and payments are all being made. It's They're in good financial condition all the way through.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice here. Then you went out into built a church in Big Delta, did you not?
That church, we built that church in Delta in 52. a little chapel in Delta in 52. We built a house in Delta in 53.
It would be interesting, Reverend Bingle, to start in the beginning now and list the buildings you built, starting with this assembly hall in Cordova, was one.
Well, we just kind of finished up on a building down here in Cordova. We had to finish on a building upstairs, but...
Well, that's building.
But,
let's call it one. What's the next one?
That wasn't personally, I just had another fellow do that. I didn't know anything about building. First building I had to build was my house in Palmer. Second building, of course, we had to work on was the church in Palmer. That big log building. We had good carpenters on that. I mean, good, but you know when you head that thing up, you have to go chase down the people. That was all volunteer labor, except for the truss work up on the top. It was all volunteer labor. But
before that, the big assembly hall, you worked to gather some of that. That was your idea, wasn't it?
That was something. That was a little bit of a thing. We had to throw that together, yeah. Well, I had a good help on that, but I mean to say I probably knew what he was doing, but I had to go get those guys together and get them working. But
that was four. What was the next?
Well, the house, and then the church, and then there was a manse there at Palmer.
Well, you gave up the house and moved into a manse, is that it?
Yes, we made a nice log manse right side the house, right side the church. Well, yeah, I didn't have anything to do with that garage. I gave that over. I said, I'm going to go bother that or we'll see that thing to get it done. And I got the garage. They built that garage. I don't have time for that, I said. And then when they came north here, well, then the first thing, of course, I had to do was, next thing I had to do was put a room on the back end of the house we lived in out here in College Road.
Didn't you build that house there?
No, that belonged to IMC Anderson.
Oh, it did?
Yes, we had to put another big room on the back. We put a good-sized room on the back.
That isn't the house they're living in now.
No. We put a big-sized room on the back of that house. And then the next building we put up was the University Church, I guess. And the next building we put up was the Tope Chapel.
Oh, Tope. Oh.
Yeah. And the next building we put up, I guess, was the house that we were living in. And, of course, I didn't work too much on that because Mr. Fennell had that one. And that Jim, our boy Jim, and Henry Gettinger worked on that one. And then Chip Chandler.
Where is that? The one on College Road?
Yeah, the one on College Road. I was gone most of the time on that one. And I was gone most of the time. Mm-hmm. But then, and that was in 50. And when Armstrong and I was putting the chapel up at Tope. Armstrong and Mrs. Armstrong and I were at Tope. They fixed the house down here. Mm-hmm. So then we came back. And in 52, Jim came back with college. And he brought a young chap from... We married a Japanese gal, and he brought him along, and they built the chapel. Yeah, that's right. He built the chapel at Delta.
In 9 days.
Oh. Just two fellows?
The two. I got the materials for to them, and they put the two boys put the building up. I got the materials for them. And then I had the stuff all laid out for them and told them what to do when they did it. Jim's a good builder. Mm. Jim's good. He's great. He knows what he's doing.
That's your son, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I get to... Then in 53, we built the house at Tope. And then from that on, we ordered the materials for the chapel for the house at Big Delta. And 2 weeks from the time we had the house built, we had the roof on at Delta. And then by that time I got tired and I took off for White Horse and stayed in the hotel there for about 3 days.
What year was
Santrana? Oh, Santrana, I forgot that. It was in 55.
Santrana? Oh,
yeah, well, that was in 55. I built that chapel up in 55.
Across from the temple.
Yes. That was in 55 it was done up. And then we George Bill Harding Lake and from 55 through 54, 50, 59, 60. I quit building there in 60. We put 59 back, 54 to 50, to 60. We put the house up, got the house finally in some kind of a shape there at Harding, King Harding Lake. And then I took off for Palmer.
Yeah. Still in active church work.
I just quit.
No, I mean, when
you
Harding Lake.
That's right.
You'd like to close it out, but go right up to where you...
I was still holding that on that railroad and highway work.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on the highway, I was still doing the highway and the railroad work.
Mm-hmm.
I still have 100 miles of road work, 900 miles of road work.
Every week.
Oh, no, I would get Bobby down in the White Horse area for 3 months.
Oh,
but I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
I get on the Northway area about every 2 weeks, and I get on the Toke area about, I get on the Toke area every other week, didn't I?
Well, we went every week.
Yeah, we had to do that to hold the works. And I make the railroad during the week time, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then they need to be there on Sunday, but every week I'd be on the highway.
But you don't have any minister at Toke now?
No.
Is the church closed up?
Myron.
No, they have laymen there doing some work on it. Yes. No, a layman doing the work.
Doesn't Myron go down?
I think I don't know whether he is or not. I just don't know whether he is or not.
Then you said you went down to Palmer. Have you been back there working for a while? Or?
I went back down there for 3 years,
overlooking,
caring for Kingslake Camp.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
1 year I managed it, and 2 years year and a part of another, and I was just sort of a caretaker around there for the property and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you came back up here for the railroad work.
Came back up here. I did some building at Harding Lake in one summer. I think about 2 summers I worked up there. It helped rebuild, helped finish up those cabins.
Mm-hmm.
And we put up, one or two cabins we picked up last year. I don't know which one.
Mm-hmm.
And which we built took the tents down and put up logs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have those roofed in, you know. And then same time I was helping out when Pritchard got sick from Clear and he was in the hospital, I volunteered to take his place, and I was on the railroad trying to take his place. And then once I received a note from a telephone call from Juneau asking me to go down the railroad or come in here and get an apartment and move in and take over.
Put that straight. He didn't ask it, he told you.
Well, I know, but you don't need to put that on a toilet.
That's right. Well, I'll close it out with a nice little dock.
But that finishes it as far as I'm concerned. I'm just quit.
Now you're through, completely through with the railroad work.
Oh, yeah, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. Now I'm going down to stay at Max Sherrod's and place with my old friend in Palmer and take care of his property for a while.
Uh-huh.
How come we found you Healy the other day?
Well, that was just one of the last times I was down there. That's
you
all.
To say goodbye, huh?
No, I was still working.
Oh.
Presbyteries haven't since that time, see? Presbyteries just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I knew that I was sure it was coming up, see? Yeah, I was sort of picking up everything, getting all pieces picked up, you know. No, I was figuring them.
So this is the, you may not do any more church work in Alaska for all you know, huh?
Oh, I wouldn't say I wouldn't do anything anymore because I don't expect to leave right away. Anything could happen. I'm available.
This covers from what year to what year?
19 from May 1928 till this 8th day of November.
1965.
Yes.
And you're past the usual retirement age now, aren't you?
Oh, I'm getting on towards 70.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, I think it's time that you took a rest.
Yeah.
So we'll say goodbye.